This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to this edition of Education Matters here on WGTD HD. I'm your host this morning, Steve Brown, and we'll be talking this morning with the winners of the United States Academic Decathlon Championship, and they are from Wilmot High School, located in the village of Salem Lakes. We'll also be joined by their coach, Don Sierkowski. The mission of the United States Academic Decathlon is to provide all students with the opportunity to excel academically through team competition. The core values include academic growth of the students, challenging multidisciplinary learning, teamwork as a means to achieve self-knowledge and self-skills and life skills, providing equal opportunities for students of different achievement levels, the importance of inclusivity and diversity to learning and the human experience, high standards of honesty and integrity, transparency in our relations and interactions with all of our stakeholders, excellence in our programs, services, and activities, and finally, respect for diverse points of view. And the winner of this year's Division II of the National Championship, which was held in Bloomington, Minnesota, is the team from Wilmot High School. And the theme for this year was the 1960s, a transformational decade. And one of the things that you'll be hearing these team members talk about is the fact that they all work together. And you will hear them talk a lot about family. The members of the team this year included April Hedberg, Sean O'Dowd, Ambro Sigeman, Marcus Wolf, Ian McCutcheon, Austin Adam, Grady Duffy, and Lydia Fielder. And now my interview with the winners of the Academic Decathlon Championship for Division II for the United States Academic Decathlon Championship. And I'm very pleased to be here with the Academic Decathlon team, the national champions. And the team is coached by Don Sierkowski, and I have members of the team around me. We're sitting at a table, and the format will be a little different than the shows I normally do, where I have one guest or maybe two, either in the studio or on the phone, or if I'm in Madison or any part of the country where I've done shows before. So I'm going to be passing the microphone around, so you might hear some microphone sounds and whatever. So just don't worry about that. But this will be a really exciting interview. This is the team. If you saw the article in the Kenosha News recently, they are the champions in Division II for 2019, and they've won other awards in the past. But I first wanted to chat briefly with Don Sierkowski, so roll your chair up over here. And I'm shaking Don's hand. Since this is radio, you can't see me on the radio shaking Don's hand. And anyway, Don, I'm going to hand the mic over to you. And just first of all, just tell us how all this came about for this season, and maybe tell us what the theme was. I think it was the 1960s, and just how this season came about.
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, the theme was 1960s, and this season started out with pretty high expectations of our decathletes, trying to keep our streak of state championships alive, but we knew we had a pretty tough opponent up in Watertown that was going to challenge us along the way. And our first competition against them, they beat us at the regional. And luckily the top teams in state, even if you lose at the regional, get to go on to state. And we made a big jump in points from regionals to state when these kids really got together and hunkered down and made sure that we got to go on to the next level as a team to the national championship. So Yeah, they had to go through some adversity in the beginning, a little wake-up call, but they rose to the occasion and even flew even higher as we progressed throughout the season.
As a coach of the team, first of all, how often do you meet with the team during the regular academic year? Obviously, there are various activities that go on, but give us a sense of how often you meet with them and what the what the training is like, if you will, so the audience has a chance to get a sense of what's involved, how much time goes into getting everyone prepared.
Yeah, now that we've been doing this for 6 years straight at winning the national the state championships, it's 11 months out of the calendar year. So, like, we just got the information for next year, and they're ready to go, the ones that are coming back to do that. And so we meet every day during the school year during a class that we have, except for on Wednesdays. And we meet every Monday throughout the entire year until 5:30 after school is done. And they've implemented voluntarily more practices. Sometimes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays they'll stay after school and meet somewhere like the Commons or Library and get more. And every Sunday, the tradition that's really taking this whole program to the next level is they meet at somebody's house. And that house this year, I think, was Marcus Wolf's house, was more of the designated place to be. But they share that and they pass it on. But yeah, they spend a lot of time, and the more time they put into it, definitely shows their improvement of their scores and their success.
And just for some background, the U.S. Academic Decathlon overview, and I'm just reading this about what is the U.S. Academic Decathlon? This is the premier national scholastic competition for high school students. It was created to provide opportunities for students to experience the challenges of rigorous team and individual academic competition. And students compete in 10 events: art, economics, essay, interview, mathematics, literature, music, science, social science, and speech. And students compose an essay based on a prompt whose central theme incorporates information relating to the current curriculum. And the culmination of the competition is what they say here is an exciting super quiz. I'm just going to start to my left here, and all the students have little cards on the table, so I know the person to my left is Lydia. And I'm just going to pass the microphone around, and what I would like all of you to do is introduce yourselves, first name, last name, and just tell us, tell our audience just something about yourself, who you are, what your interests are, if you're a junior or senior or sophomore, and if you are a senior, what your plans are after graduation, since we're right here a few weeks away, I think about 3 weeks away, give or take, from the end of the school year, just so we can get a chance to know who you are and what your plans are.
Hi, I'm Lydia Fielder. I'm a sophomore here at Wilmot, and I joined Academic Decathlon because I love learning, and I heard that this was an amazing challenge, and I was ready to take on that challenge.
I'm Grady Duffy. I'm Grady Duffy. I'm a senior at Wilmot. I joined Academic Decathlon because I had a friend on the team, and I wanted to challenge myself for my senior year. And after senior year, I plan to attend UW-Whitewater and major in marine biology.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Dowd. I am a junior here at Wilmot High School, and I joined Academic Decathlon because it was presented to me, and it was presented to me as one of the biggest challenges that I could do in high school. And I know there are tons of other challenges in high school alone, but one of the biggest passions in my life is learning, and I thought there was no better way for me to live with my passion than through Academic Decathlon.
My name is Ambrielle Sigmund. I'm a senior, and the reason why I joined Academic Decathlon was because I was originally part of Pentathlon back in grade school, and coming to see the super quiz when I was an eighth grader for the Decathlon made me want to join it right away. After my senior year, I plan on going to Gateway and majoring in veterinary medicine.
My name is Marcus Wolf. I'm a junior here at Wilmot, and I joined Academic Decathlon primarily because a friend of mine, Sean, actually, was on the team as a freshman. And I knew Acadec was an experience that would allow me to create memories that I would never forget with my closest friends, one of Sean included. So I really wanted to maximize my opportunities in that regard. After high school, I plan on pursuing electrical engineering in a four-year university.
I'm Levi Keane, and my reason for going to Academic Decathlon, oh, I'm a junior, is very similar to Marcus's, because I saw Sean at the state competition, and it looked really cool, and it was really fun to watch, and I wanted to represent my school in an academic challenge like that, and just challenge myself in general, and it seemed pretty fun.
My name is Austin Adam. I am a senior here at Wilmot. I joined Academic Decathlon because I had heard so many great things about it. The amazing things the team does, they get to go to amazing places for competitions, the hard work they do, it's unparalleled, in my belief, in this school. It creates a love of learning for life. It sets you up for college, for anything you could experience in life, and I'm very grateful that I had this chance to compete.
Hi, my name is April Hedberg. I'm a senior here at Wilmot Union High School. I joined Academic Decathlon because I was looking for the opportunity that Wilmot had to offer, and I've heard many people that's done this said that they enjoyed it and that they were happy with the opportunity that was presented to them. After high school, I plan to attend UW-Whitewater and major in biology.
My name is Ian McCutcheon. I'm a sophomore at Wilmot High School. The main reason I joined Academic Decathlon is because I didn't do anything freshman year, and freshman year wasn't a terrific year, so I kind of wanted to have a much better year, and I think I definitely achieved that, mainly because of Acadec. Made a lot of really great friends that I think I'm probably going to want to keep, and just a lot of really great experiences that really made the experience worth and the decision worth it.
Before we continue, maybe, Don, if you could maybe just go over what the awards were. And I have it in the Kenosha News here. And by the way, it was really a neat article that was in the Kenosha News April 28th, a front page above the fold. And that's always a great place to be. A wonderful picture of all of you here. Holding the banner, a nice article written by Heather Larson Ponier. But maybe if you can just talk about the actual awards, and then I have some other questions.
Sure, Kenosha News does an amazing job, and we actually said that, Stephen. It's like it's above the fold, front page above the fold. That is an honor, and they've done that in the past. We're very grateful of that. Well, the main award always is what we achieve as a team. And getting that golden banner, that is the ultimate goal that we have every year. And we actually will make a shirt to commemorate that, because that's what we would like to achieve. And we're designing that as we speak. So I always stress the team achievements. But you can't really do that without each individual carrying their weight and doing their best. And obviously when you've got three decathletes on the team that are the top in each of their divisions, respectively, high scorers. And Marcus Wolf being the top scorer in all of Division II, that's a person you can rally around. And something I stress with the team, and hopefully going into the future, that Marcus was getting that score early in the year. And when we do that, we can be much more successful as a team. And I'm hoping more kids over the summer will take Marcus's work ethic and emulate it and take us to even maybe a higher level that we're aspiring to next year that we've not ever seen before. We have a lot of expectations and hopes for next year, but it starts out like that early and with a lot of work. And then you've got Ian here, a sophomore, who was the highest scorer in the nation in the Scholastic Division, Division II, and Ian didn't make the All-State team. And Ian, by far, unexpectedly, jumped the highest of all the scorers in the team at Nationals. And no one person, by definition, can win this decathlon, but his individual effort
put us in a more secure place of achieving the ultimate goal. So not expected a sophomore rising up like that is really cool. And then you got a two-time decathlete, Austin Adam, over there. And he had won the state for the highest score in varsity division. And to repeat that at nationals and keep that level of intensity up, and he gets to graduate knowing that he was the best in the nation at what he does. And those are special memories and things that can never be taken away. And I liked when you were going around the room here and they're introducing themselves and talking about what this experience means to them. It brings to light how special this group really is to the school, and especially to me, and even more so to each other. They are, and Ambrielle, if you can't see it on radio, is wearing a shirt that says family. And that's something that this group of kids really is. They really are family. They take care of each other, and they pick each other up, and they're fun together. They're a very fun team.
Ian, let me follow up on what you said. You're a sophomore, and I don't want to go into detail about your freshman year that you sort of referred to, but maybe if you could tell our audience how you prepared for the competition that you went through, and be as comprehensive as you could in terms of how you prepared and what the topics were, and maybe just give us a sense of what the topics and an idea of exactly what you did.
Well, it wasn't one thing, I can tell you that. Probably the most major thing we did to prepare was we all get study guides of all the material that's going to be on the tests later. And I think in total we probably read through all of those about 15 times each. It's pretty intense. In that regard, you have to know every little detail. You have to be able to recall. Yeah, that's a big part of it, being able to recall that one sentence on page 33, paragraph 2 of the lit guide, and being able to, like, it's the small details and the overarching things that really make up the questions on the test, and you have to be prepared for all of them. And like our coach said, we stay late on Mondays, we stay late on Wednesdays and Thursdays. All these extra days, all this extra time we put in, that's a big part of it. Staying at people's houses and, like, often rescheduling at the last minute if someone can't do it suddenly. So that's, on a time level, it requires a lot of that.
Since the topic for this past year, the topic or the time period, it was the 1960s, can you recall one area of the 1960s that comes to mind for you that either was something new that you had not known about or something that really grabbed your attention or your interest in particular?
I think that would have to be the music guide, which covered basically from 1959 to 1970. It was the longest guide that we got. It was 172 pages, like, just packed with information. And I just found it really interesting. It really piqued my interest in terms of, like, the bands mentioned. Like, I pretty much became a Beatles fan because I read that whole section, and it introduced me to some really great songs as well. One of my favorites is still Eve of Destruction.
What about some historical fact, though, in the 1960s? Is there anyone who would like to talk about something as far as the history of the 1960s? I mean, certainly a lot of really impactful things happened in this country in particular in the 1960s. Is there someone who would like to share a thought that really grabbed your attention, that you obviously knew about, but really it brought it into focus for you? Sean?
I think one of the biggest aspects of the history of the 1960s that drew me in was the relatability of it, because during the 1960s you had so many conflicts with civil rights, you had Vietnam, so many things that there was deep division on in the country. And even though we may see some division today, what I love to see from the history is that as a country, through that deep division, we still went on and we grew and we moved on and became successful through that division because we found solutions to problems. And I think it really gives me hope when I see divisions in today and in other parts of history that we'll work through to a solution no matter what. And it's looking at those historical figures that brought us through that time that really gives me hope for today.
And when you say that, who comes to mind from the 1960s that helps you think about that whole issue of bringing hope today in 2019? And then how does that impact today when you look at the political landscape? And I don't want to get into a political discussion, you know, left, right, middle, you know, Democratic, Republican, but how does that bring it into focus today for you, you know, as someone who's looking at politics today? And, you know, so how does that help you focus into how you're going to be able to take a look at the candidates in 2020, looking back at the 1960s and how that shaped America then?
I think one of the key aspects of the political realm of the time was not necessarily political candidates, but other figures such as Martin Luther King Jr., who led the civil rights movement, because they had a cause and they had something that they really, really cared about and he gave his life for that meant so much to him because he fought for what was right. And in today's society, while there is division, I still think there are people who fight for what is right, no matter the political boundaries of it. And it's those moral issues that we fight for and we strive for to make the world a better place that I think is what gives me hope about today's society.
Don, let me ask you this. When you look at all the issues of the 1960s, is it difficult sometimes to not look at the 1960s as they were preparing for all the topics, all the issues, all the thousands of pages that all the students had to take a look at and study, and not compare it to what's happening today?
It's almost impossible not to. There were so many parallels within the guide. It almost seemed like we were rewriting it. We were reliving it today from the political landscape and just the social issues that we are currently still delving into today seem to have started in the 60s with women's rights, and there were gay rights and contraception and abortion. All of those things were in the guide, and they were all relevant to what is happening today. So they were getting a great history of where we are in those same issues today from when they started to be very much discussed in the 60s and ruled upon in the Supreme Court. So there was so much useful knowledge, applicable knowledge, and as you can tell from how Sean's speaking about it, that he has made those connections very deeply, as many of the decathletes have, and we got to have those discussions along the way. So it's not, you know, and you have to memorize, so to speak, the guides, but you have to make those connections to keep that information and to do well on any of these exams that we take. So it's not only the details, it's those broader issues that they internalize and keep.
When I look at the overall curriculum of the decathlon and the curriculum and content standards, and I'm reading this from their website, it says that the U.S. Academic Decathlon's curriculum is an interdisciplinary curriculum in which a selected theme is integrated across six different subject areas: art, economics, literature, music, science, and social science. Obviously, as we've talked about, the theme for this past academic decathlon, the 1960s, transformational decade. And for this next year, the topic again is what, Don?
In sickness and in health.
We'll start with Lydia. Just give me a sense of what it's like for you, what it has been like for you being a member of this team, what it's meant to you personally, and as a student, academically, or just any thoughts that come into mind. And we'll just pass the mic around.
So this team really is a family. I think that being a part of this team has made it worth all of the stress and the struggle that we have to put into learning the curriculum and really the time it takes and the devotion we have for each other. We hold each other accountable. So while we study, and yes, it's frustrating, but it's all worth it to see the smiles on each other's faces when we really do succeed. And knowing that you're doing this not only for yourself, but for every single person on this team, and knowing that every single person is doing the same for you. And this team really has pulled each other through. I wouldn't want any other group of kids sitting next to me.
When I joined this team, this was my first year. And as a senior at this school, I knew that this would be my first year and my last year. So I made this count. And it was a great experience for me, as it made me a better person. And it made all of us better people, I think, with the experience. And I feel that this was one of the, if not the best experience of my entire high school career, and I wish that I could have done it earlier.
So I'm going to say it again, and I'm sure almost every other person around this table is going to say it, but this really, really, truly is a family. We spend 11 months going through this material, and we go over it and over it, and we get frustrated, and we just want to throw the guides out the window. And it's turning back to our family through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, knowing that they're there for us no matter what, that they're our support network. I mean, honestly, for me, there are times that I see my academic family in a week more than my actual family, which I still find funny. But knowing that they're there for me no matter what, and learning for a year with them, being able to make such deep connections that I don't think there's any other way that we could make those connections than to go at this thing for a year together. That is what's most rewarding about being on the Academic Decathlon team.
As stated before, this team is 110% a family. I've been a part of the Academic Decathlon program for 3 years now, and the past 2 years I have been the mom of the group, taking care of all these little ones. And just knowing that we're doing the best that we can for these 11 months and trying so unbelievably hard makes me proud of each and every one of you.
I think the connections formed through this whole experience throughout the year are something truly unforgettable. I know for a fact I will never forget rolling around on the floor laughing with exhaustion at 2 in the morning at our state and national competitions because we were so tired from excessive studying. But in the end, it all pays off. It really works. We reap the benefits through our year of preparation and experience. We ultimately create memories with each other that I know I want to continue into my senior year and beyond.
So everyone so far is definitely right about it being definitely a family feel, because we all really get to know each other and how we study and things like that. But what I really like is the fact that we're all really, really different. We don't all do the same thing. We're all different grade levels. Well, we're all from different classes, and this kind of brings us all together, but we all have different interests, and the fact how they all combine and how we all get to know each other, it's a really great group, because you get to see so many different perspectives on a past historical event, and it's just a really cool way to learn about things.
So I love the team aspect of this. As I said before, we're a family, and with this kind of material, it's hard enough sometimes to get yourself motivated, but knowing you have a dedication to others, you made a promise to them and to yourself to be the best person that you could be, I think that it's a really valuable experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
I enjoy being on this team because this is like by far the most different team that I've ever been on. I've had history with sports, but it's never been like this. Nobody on this team leaves anybody strangling, and it's, you know, everybody's there to support you and to pick you up, and it's truly an amazing thing, because everybody on this team could be like, I'm not going to help you, but everybody is very welcoming. They help you, they give you tips, they make you want to learn. Like, you know, there's nobody on this team that doesn't make you want to, like, better yourself, and that's what I enjoy about being a part of this team, and this is my first and last time. So I'm glad that I got to end the year with these people.
Yeah, like basically everyone said, this group really is a family. And I think one of the biggest aspects of that is if you are having a tough time with something, like there are a lot of tough subjects. For instance, you have to learn music theory basically from scratch, and it's one of the most frustrating aspects, but it's also frustrating for other people who don't understand it, and more than likely, there are people that, on the team that can help you understand it. Marcus was kind of instrumental for understanding stuff, especially math. There's absolutely no way we could have done anything with math without Marcus, and you can't really... I don't know, you can't really have that without having, like, a team format, and, yeah, and it's not just math, it's people, some people, Sean teaching music theory.
They're talking about when they're studying with the guys, but on Sundays, I think they do more than just study, they hang out. Somebody on this team, who will not be mentioned on the radio, has made a lot of memes about what it means to be an academic decathlete, and actually... teams from across the country were at the national competition, finally got to meet Marcus Wolf and his memes that are now famous across the United States. There was a dance after nationals, and it was a really cool dance. It was really well populated, and our kids won 2 dance contests. I mean, this is a fun group. We walked down the halls at the hotels at nationals and state, and they're whistling and singing all the tunes from the 60s. They've been completely changed. They know the 60s. Like, if I hear Guns N' Roses, Paradise City, I go back to when I'm 17. They hear these songs from the 60s. They don't go back there, but they'll challenge anybody, not just, you know, academically, but they feel this music, and it's so much part of their lives in this whole time period. I mean, they've been there. They'd be interesting to talk to. You get anybody who's been from the 60s. I just missed those by a couple of years. But they could hang with them. They should actually teach a class about the 60s for the community. We've thought of that and have people come in and have them share their perspectives on that decade. And I think these kids really are a lot of fun, and they've learned a lot, and they've learned a lot from each other and symbiotically have just grown together.
Before I ask you, Don, to talk about how being involved with the academic decathlon has impacted you as a coach. Is there a song from the 60s that you'd like to share with our audience? Is there something that you actually do sing? Anyone like to? Is there something that you can all sing? I'm serious. I'm getting the audience on the radio. I'm getting these weird looks. Like, what? They're asking us to sing. I'm serious, Sean.
So, one of the songs that was mentioned to us, it was an old folk song called "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" That really, really, it was interesting because we don't have the same situation as there was in the 60s with the Vietnam War. I don't think there's nearly as much opposition to any activities that our military's involved in right now. But one of the songs called "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" really highlights what war does to a society. And I'll sing a little bit for you if you'd like. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Girls have picked them, everyone. Oh, when will we ever learn? When will we ever learn?
Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone to young men, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
And it continues on to talk about, where have all the girls gone? They've taken husbands. Where have all the young men gone? They've gone to war, everyone. Where have all the men gone? Well, they've turned into flowers, everyone. And it circles back, and it really, it's a beautiful piece that speaks to the huge toll that war takes on a society. And I think it really makes us think before we do anything in the future about our actions and the consequences that they might have before we make any mistakes. A lot of people thought that the Vietnam War was a mistake, and that song really highlights it and the toll that it took on so many people.
Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers every
day. Don, as we wrap this up, give us a sense of what being involved with the Academic Decathlon has meant to you over these years.
Everything. I didn't see this coming out of college and becoming a teacher. I was a basketball player, and I was going to be a basketball coach my entire life, and that's how it kind of started. And then some academic competitions came along the way from Kenosha, Geography Bowl and Constitution Bowl, and we did really well at those. And then this opportunity for Academic Decathlon presented itself through one of those students that had and been in those bowls and said they had it in his state in Kansas. And then we brought it here. And it was, for the first 11 years, it's a great program whether you win it or lose it. That's the thing. For 11 years, we didn't win Academic Decathlon at the state level and go on, but we learned so much along the way. So it's completely changed my life. And I'm so blessed in the fact that I've gotten to know at such a more personal level so many great students from so many different backgrounds and so many different abilities, and someday I'll probably completely comprehend what's happened. Like, even this weekend I'm going to a former decathlete's wedding that graduated from here, and his wife to be did, that we're on our first team to Hawaii, and I get to have that camaraderie. A couple of them came back this week from the national championship teams to recognize these kids and to come back and just be home. And I don't take that lightly. I take that as the highest of compliments, and I'm extremely lucky that way that I get to be part of their lives forever, whether they like it or not.
You know, and wrapping things up, I guess one of the last questions I wanted to ask, and any of you who want to respond, just wave your hand, I'll hand you the microphone. What kinds of reactions have you gotten from your classmates here at Wilmot High School? Obviously, Wilmot High School, outstanding high school, outstanding academics, outstanding athletics as well. I'm always curious, how do your classmates react?
I think here at Wilmot, we have a very welcoming and inviting student body. I know we mentioned the notion of a family earlier. I think the entire school can act as a family when experiences like these happen. And truthfully, when we arrived home from state and from nationals, we received very warm welcomes and praise from our classmates. Those are things that I will cherish forever, and it really reveals the warm sentiment we have here, the praise I received in the hallways and other of my teammates received from teachers and everyone entirely just really reveals the spirit here we have here at Wilmot.
To give you a bit of a rough idea of how much the student body how much we're appreciated, during state, we have a competition called Super Quiz, and they had a whole bus, a fan bus of people to, like, come and cheer us on. And Wilmot had by far the biggest group of people go. It was terrific. And every time we got one right, there was just, like, huge cheer of, yeah, Wilmot. We even brought our stuffed panther, and I think we had a flag as well that we waved around. Fortunately, we didn't have one for nationals, but if we could have gotten a bus to go to Minnesota, I think we would have.
I think Ian makes an excellent point with the fan bus. That's just a physical representation of the support that we have here at this school. We're so blessed to have the amount of support that we have, not only from our classmates and our teachers, but from our counselors, our administration. Oh, my goodness. Our administration does so much for us to be able to compete like we do. I'm just so thankful for that. But also from the entire community. There are so many people that have sent my family the newspaper saying, hey, look at this. Congratulations. And we were actually just recently recognized by the Village of Salem Lakes board at the meeting. They gave us a proclamation congratulating us. And just to know that we have such wide and deep support from not only our school, but from our whole community and from people across the state. We had Green Bay Preble, another one of the schools that we competed against at the state competition, came with us to the national competition in Division IV they competed in. And they actually just recently sent us a letter saying thank you for coming along and for letting them come along and for teaching them and having and sharing that experience with them of what a national competition can be like. And to know that we have support from people that we used to compete against is just such a humbling and lovely feeling.
It is really nice the support that we get from the student body, but I'd also really like to emphasize with the all the teachers we have and the administrators, they're really cool with, because like we'll miss a lot of school sometimes. We miss a whole week of school just to go to nationals, and especially when we're going to faraway places. Like this year it was closer in Minnesota, but when it's farther away, it's even we miss even more school, and they're really understanding, and they know that we're trying our best, and we're working hard out there. And especially with the administration, because they got to work with all that. And, like, we actually had our athletic director come and pick up some of us because we were stranded in Minnesota for a day or two. So they came. We had our athletic director come and pick us up and drive 5 hours there, 5 hours back to come get us and bring us home because our plane flight was canceled because there was a storm and stuff. And it was really nice to see that type of support. And they're just, everyone here is awesome. The whole community. It's really great.
Real quick, I want to give a brief shout out to Mrs. Unger, our econ teacher. She's an incredible human being. Some of us took her AP econ class, and we wouldn't have done nearly as well as econ without Mrs. Unger. And she's just great in every way. So, thanks.
Anyone else? And finally, in preparation for the 2020, again, the topic is?
In sickness and in health? No. Yes.
and so what's the overarching, obviously that's the theme, but give us a sense of what some of the topics are going to be.
Yeah, the history will be the history of healthcare from ancient times up to the present, which should be pretty interesting. The novel this year is Frankenstein, the 1818 publication by Mary Shelley. The science guide is about cancer and how that biologically works and how to cure cancer. So, yeah, and the music is mostly things like Dies Irae and Symphony Fantastique and things about death. There's a lot of death mentioned in the music and the art that focuses on those things. So we're going to have a very good appreciation of what life means and how precious it is and how to deal with those things moving forward in their lives many years from now, hopefully after high school.
Well, I want to thank all of you. It's wonderful. The state award, the national awards, your individual awards is really fantastic. And I know that those of us at WGTD Public Radio, Gateway Technical College, and all of our listeners appreciate all the work that all of you do. It's fantastic. And Don, thank you, and all the staff here at Wilmot, and your school board, and the administration. It's just fantastic. I'd like to thank all the members of the Academic Decathlon team, the champions for Division II for this year, for being my guest on Education Matters, along with their coach, Don Sierkowski. Thank you so much for joining me this morning on Education Matters. For WGTD, I'm Steve Brown. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. Visit jackandrea.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and